Cessna announces the Citation Columbus. Indonesia's aviation industry makes a safety policy blunder. And Mark Strub's sentence is mostly community service. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, February 7th, 2008. Cessna Wednesday redefined the top end of its Citation business jet line with the announcement that its large cabin concept will become a real plane, targeted for entry into service in 2014. The new intercontinental aircraft will be called the Model 850 Citation Columbus. Cessna was given the go-ahead for the program by the board of parent company Textron last month. The Columbus also has targeted specifications now, including a range of 4,000 nautical miles at Mach 0.8, carrying 8 passengers. The jet will debut powered by Pratt & Whitney Canada's new PW810 and feature Rockwell Collins' new ProLine Fusion Advanced Avionics. Cessna says it has reached an agreement in principle with Spirit AeroSystems to produce the fuselage and empennage, with more details promised in coming weeks. Columbus will use an aluminum airframe, and it contains structural and cabin interior features to maximize interior cabin space. Cessna CEO Jack Pelton says the decision to move forward is based on 5 years of research. Quote, "The Citation Columbus is being designed to be the best value proposition in its class. It'll be manufactured with a strong focus on reliability and ease of maintenance. This aircraft will be Cessna's greatest achievement," unquote. So, just how big is Columbus? As it turns out, longer than the Nina and the Pinta, but shorter than the Santa Maria. The 850 has a total length of 77 feet and a wingspan of 80 feet. Its cabin length of just over 36 feet, including interior baggage space, is the longest in its class by nearly 2 feet. The Columbus can be configured for up to 10 passengers and has a stand-up cabin with an aisle height of 73 inches. Cessna says computational fluid dynamics analysis and wind tunnel verification have produced a design that supports high speeds with the highest efficiency and least drag and includes a moderately swept wing. The estimated introductory price for the Citation Columbus will be $27 million U.S. Indonesia, which finds its airline industry stumbling under what may be the world's worst safety reputation, has arrested an airline pilot on charges including manslaughter in connection with an accident last March 7th. The Seattle Times reports Captain Marwoto Komar was arrested on Tuesday. Investigators say Komar, who was captain of a Garuda Indonesian Boeing 737-400 flying into Yogyakarta Airport in central Java, ignored both cockpit alarms and repeated verbal warnings from his co-pilot that he was too fast on final. The plane overshot the runway, slid into a rice field, and burst into flames. The airport was criticized for having fire equipment which couldn't negotiate the rice field to reach the plane. 21 people died, 119 others escaped. Indonesia's National Transportation Safety Committee found the pilot was singing during the approach, violating the Garuda Basic Operations Manual policy for a sterile cockpit below 10,000 feet. Aviation attorney John Nance, a former Alaska Airlines 737 pilot, said authorities should make sure Komar never steps into a cockpit again, but fears the charges will set a dangerous precedent and have a chilling effect on voluntary reporting of safety issues by pilots. The International Federation of Airline Pilots Associations concurs, according to a press release quoted by Pravda. Komar could face 5 years in prison if convicted. A Wisconsin pilot has been sentenced to 30 days in jail, 60 days of home detention, and 1,000 hours of community service after a plea bargain in connection with a 2004 charity biplane flight that resulted in the death of a passenger. ANN has reported extensively on the case of Mark Strub, who offered to take passengers on 10-minute rides in a Stearman biplane during a Children's Miracle Network balloon rally in Wisconsin Rapids for a suggested donation of $10. While giving Kimberly Reed a ride in a vintage aircraft, he struck power lines and came to rest inverted in the Wisconsin River. Strub survived the accident, but he wasn't able to free Reed, who had suffered a broken neck. Strub had testified that his estimate of his location was off by 7 miles and that the power lines caught him by surprise. The Wisconsin Rapids Tribune reports that on Tuesday, Portage County Circuit Court Judge Frederick Fleishauer imposed the sentence and ordered Strub to write a letter of apology to Reed's family within the next 30 days. Today was supposed to be the day the space shuttle Atlantis finally got to start its mission, but the weather is not looking good. NASA says forecasts offer only a 30% chance of conditions favorable for the planned 2:45 p.m. Eastern Time launch. Check back with our website for updates during the day today at aero-news.net. Up next on ANN, the Coast Guard recovers the bodies of two medevac crew members. The FAA deploys more traffic control training simulators. And two Connecticut towns may resolve their dispute over Sikorsky Memorial Airport. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with a sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-Cessna.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for February 7th, 2008. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Being part of a medevac crew is one of the most noble, rewarding, and hazardous professions in aviation. Sadly, at least two more members of that fraternity were lost on Tuesday night in a helicopter accident near South Padre Island, Texas. The Associated Press reports two crew members on board were killed and a third is missing after a Eurocopter AS-350B2 hit the water in Laguna Madre. The Valley Air Care helicopter had reportedly flown from Harlingen to South Padre to retrieve a patient, but aborted its landing there due to poor weather and was on the way back to Harlingen when it crashed shortly after 10 p.m. local time. U.S. Coast Guard searchers recovered the bodies of flight medics Marcos P. Sanchez and Raul Garcia Jr. Cameron County Justice of the Peace Benito Ochoa told the AP on Wednesday afternoon that crews are still searching for pilot Robert Goss. The helicopter was reportedly operated by Metro Aviation. The FAA announced on Wednesday it will deploy new air traffic tower simulators to 19 locations around the country to help train thousands of new controllers in an environment that's interactive and provides realistic scenarios. Acting FAA Administrator Bobby Sturgill says the sims ensure that the latest technology is part of the training regimen. Quote, controlling traffic is a demanding job, and experience tells us that real-life training scenarios make a critical difference. Deploying simulators to such key locations as JFK will help us maximize our training program, unquote. The FAA has been using tower sims in Chicago, Miami, Phoenix, and Ontario, California since 2006. In late December last year, the FAA awarded a contract to Adacel Systems of Orlando to provide another 24 simulators. Adacel developed the FAA's original four prototype systems. The tower simulation system includes a large graphic depiction of the airfield and the area around the airport and can be adjusted to depict different weather conditions and times of day. The screen showing the airfield wraps around the student's position to replicate windows of an actual air traffic control tower. But beyond that, synthetic voice response and voice recognition allow students to direct and receive responses as they would in a real tower. The system interprets the student's commands and translates them into actual aircraft movements, which are depicted on the screen of the airfield layout. The FAA says the sim does not interact with actual air traffic, allowing realistic training in an absolutely safe environment. Bridgeport is the largest city in Connecticut and has been running a budget deficit of late. One remedy under discussion is selling off the city airport. The town of Stratford is interested in buying it, with good reason. The airport is located within the Stratford town limits, and a purchase would finally let Stratford add the property to its tax rolls. The Connecticut Post reports Stratford Mayor James Myron is interested in beginning negotiations to acquire Igor I. Sikorsky Memorial Airport from Bridgeport. In addition to the tax issue, airport growth has caused friction between the municipalities. The Connecticut Department of Transportation signed off on an expansion plan in June of last year, and Bridgeport wanted to move forward, but Stratford residents didn't see much in it for them. Former Bridgeport Mayor John Fabrizi once said he thought the airport had a fair market value of about $20 million, but Stratford bid only about half that. Newly elected Bridgeport Mayor Bill Finch appears more receptive. Quote, "We would be foolish not to entertain any reasonable offer that the town of Stratford is willing to put forth," unquote. Across the street from the airport in Stratford is a former Army engine plant which the Army is offering to developers. Stratford's Mayor Myron says that's an opportunity. Quote, "With Bridgeport eager to sell properties and plans for the Army engine plant's development, I can't think of a better time to work out an agreement on the airport," unquote. The two mayors plan to meet on Monday. Sikorsky Memorial has two runways, oriented 1129 and 624, and both are about 4,700 feet by 150. That's a little small for the coming business jet boom, and online sources suggest both runways could use at least resurfacing work. An innovative pilot safety program at American Airlines will survive the next few months after the FAA granted a temporary reprieve while airline executives and union officials bicker over how to administer the program. The Fort Worth Star-Telegram reports the FAA, at Americans' request, extended the Aviation Safety Action Partnership Program, or ASAP, by 90 days. ASAP allows pilots immunity from airline or FAA discipline when they report safety-related issues, even if the pilot's at fault. ASAP was first adopted by American in 1994, and similar programs are now in effect at other airlines. The Allied Pilots Association has complained, however, that the company has disciplined pilots even after an incident was accepted for review under the program. That, they argued, has made pilots wary of participating. American counters, it's allowed to discipline pilots in the rare instances when an outside party, such as a ramp worker, also submits a report on an incident. The airline has so far refused to sign off on a union plan to extend immunity to pilots in those circumstances. The airline points out that the handful of cases involving discipline have been limited to a letter in the offending pilot's personnel files, which was marked for removal after 2 years. Still ahead, an R-22 pilot may have hit wires before coming down on I-110. An Able Flight Scholarship recipient opens his own flight school. And Bush defers a decision on more F-22s to the next administration. You're listening to Aero News.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, February 7th, 2008. I'm Paul Platt. On Monday, the National Transportation Safety Board released its preliminary report on the January 25th crash of a Robinson R-22. As ANN reported, the accident claimed the life of a recently certificated pilot on board. NTSB reports the pilot's instructor told investigators that 29-year-old Michael Patrick O'Neill, quote, seemed down and indicated that he wanted to perform a solo flight that night, unquote, instead of the dual instructional flight scheduled. NTSB investigator Zoe Kelleher told the Daily Breeze, quote, as part of any crash investigation, we try to understand what every pilot was thinking or going through, unquote. O'Neill flew low over the Harbor Freeway, that's Interstate 110. He was limited to 500 feet by a requirement to remain clear of traffic landing to the east at LAX. One witness described seeing a spark similar to a sparkling firework before the machine came down on the freeway. Power lines crossed the freeway near the wreckage, with static lines between the towers at about 120 feet above ground. A City of Los Angeles water and power superintendent noted that one of those lines had a 6 to 8 inch abrasion along its surface. A final report on the accident will be released within the next 12 months. Philadelphia's Sean O'Donnell provided one of the more inspirational stories to come out of EAA Air Venture in 2007. Sean's longtime dream to fly seemed remote after he was paralyzed in a motorcycle accident 13 years ago, despite success in other areas of his life. But last July, thanks to a scholarship from Able Flight, He trained in a specially equipped Italian-built Sky Aero 600 light sport aircraft and passed his FAA check ride on opening day at Oshkosh. Less than a week later, Sean was negotiating the purchase of his own Sky Aero. Now, he's almost ready to open Philly Sport Pilot, his own flight school, at historic Wings Field just a few minutes north of Philadelphia. O'Donnell feels indebted after the opportunity provided him. Quote, "When I was awarded the Able Flight Scholarship, I truly felt that it was a fantastic gift, but I also felt that I was charged with a duty. That duty was to work as hard as I can to pass this gift on to others. The best way that I could do that was provide flying resources for people with disabilities in the Northeast, particularly Philadelphia. My first hope is to provide safe, quality training for all those who can achieve it. I don't want to see someone who is completely capable of being a good pilot, like I was, stopped by an issue like mobility, which we are smart enough to get around. My second hope is to see Able Flight thrive and help provide them with the resources they need to accomplish their mission. It is a team effort and something I believe in," unquote. Sean ordered his Sky Aero from Hanson Air Group of Kennesaw, Georgia, an Able Flight sponsor and the East Coast distributor for the unique airplane, which can be flown using only hand controls. In cooperation with Montgomery County Aviation, Philly Sport Pilot is scheduled to open this month and will provide training for a Sport Pilot certificate for student pilots with or without disabilities. The Sky Aero 600 can be flown either way. As more details of the budget plan President Bush presented this week become known, it appears the lame duck administration has decided to leave several decisions for the next president, including whether the Air Force should receive more F-22 Raptors. The Fort Worth Star-Telegram reports the $515 billion fiscal 2009 defense budget includes funding for the last 20 of a 60-aircraft purchase begun last year, but the budget does not include money to begin shutting down the line after that. The Pentagon has planned to buy only 183 of the planes, but the U.S. Air Force says it needs at least 381 Raptors to maintain U.S. air superiority, and the argument has taken on added urgency given recent structural problems turning up in older F-15 Eagles. And finally today, Marion Blakey isn't the head of the FAA anymore. She's now the president and CEO of the Aerospace Industries Association, an organization founded in 1919 when it was known as the Aeronautical Chamber of Commerce. Washington, D.C. ethics watchers were horrified when Ms. Blakey moved directly from the FAA to the industry she previously had regulated, taking a new job that had paid her predecessor over $500,000 a year. Not surprisingly, in comments this week, she's still supporting the position of the airlines in the Bush administration in favor of general aviation user fees. Ms. Blakey insists that the revenue from user fees is needed to develop the FAA's next-gen air traffic control system. One can't help but wonder if her position on the issue might have softened if she'd been contemplating a move to the general aviation industry, working with the little guys instead of the big guys, maybe taking over for Pete Bunce at Gamma instead of for John Douglas at AIA. But then that's just silly. Gamma couldn't possibly pay her $531,000 a year. You probably can't tell by listening, but this story is double-spaced. Feel free to read between the lines. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today it's part two of Jim Campbell's interview with Florida aviation law attorneys Ed Booth and Don Majewski regarding the sudden closing of Silver State Helicopters last weekend. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts. You'll find them on iTunes, Yahoo, and Odeo, and at our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.